Well, this week, I've had the case of the, I call them the Holy Ghost jitters. Anybody ever have the Holy Ghost jitters? Just me. It has nothing to do with Halloween, so I'll define that. I had this, every so often I get this flood of thoughts about ideas about what God wants to do in me and what He wants to do through me and what He wants to do in my community. And sometimes it's just overwhelming. I have all these ideas coming in and I don't know what to do with them, and I just kind of get jittery and thinking, what should I do next? I should do this. No, I should do this over here. And that's just kind of been my week. There's a lot of reasons for that, and I don't know how God speaks to you sometimes, but for me, when He wants to get my attention in a particular area, He kind of hits me from all angles. I'll hear something on the radio, I'll be talking with my family about something, or a friend, we'll be studying it in a small group, or a sermon on Sunday morning, and I've been paying attention to that. The last couple of weeks, He's really been getting my attention again about reaching the lost and getting me re-energized again, re-excited about, I don't know if that's a word, about reaching the lost. Several things pointed to that. I mentioned before, I talked to a guy who was a missionary to the United States and listened to him talk and his passion for reaching the lost and planting churches. And then last Sunday we had Steve talk about the trip that they took down to Chillicothe. And they actually took another trip this Sunday. They're down there again. And so I'm curious. I read a report on the first trip. Very interesting to see how God led them on that trip. It's just exciting for me to see those things happening and see what God is doing. Talked with another guy who works in the Tri-County Jail over here in Mechanicsburg. And he was sharing about some of the men that were coming to the church service that they hold over there, and some of the men who committed their lives to Christ, and some actually that are from this area and came back into this area that we might have a chance to work with. Got me excited to see people's lives being changed by the gospel. And hearing the ideas expressed last Sunday too. Some of you expressed some ideas of where God might be leading us as a church to reach out to people. I also watched The Last Sin Eaters. Anybody seen The Last Sin Eater? Interesting movie. It's based on a novel, but it talks a lot about the wonderful gift of forgiveness that we have and how important that is to us to be forgiven of our sins. So a lot of different angles that God has been kind of hitting at me. And this excitement about this gospel that we have to share, this forgiveness that we have, this freedom that we receive from Christ. Reuben was talking about this tremendous gift that God has given us, this gift of grace. And so my wife doesn't really know what to do with me when I have these weeks, because I'm kind of ready to just tackle the world. Okay, I'm ready. Okay, we're going to move to Africa, and we're going to reach these people here. Or no, we're going to go over here. And she gets a little nervous when I have these Holy Ghost jitters, as I call them. And she has a reason to, because I can be kind of, you know, I can be a little bit rash at times and kind of thinking, well, God wants me to do all of these things, so I take them all on, and then I kind of sink. And, you know, of course, I take her with me usually. So she understands that she has to be kind of a, some people describe us as a kite and a string relationship. So, I think that works for us, because I need to be reined in sometimes and start talking a little bit more rationally. But it made me inquisitive too to think, what is God doing in your life in the area of evangelism and outreach? We had this seminar, for some of you who don't know, we had a seminar this spring on evangelism. And some of us, I don't know if all of you were able to attend that, but learn some practical things about how to reach out to people and different ways of doing that, using wondering questions and just looking at this whole idea practically of how do we reach out to people. And so I got to thinking, I was talking with Molly this week, and you know what? How have things changed since that seminar? Have I been able to put some of those things into practice? Or how am I feeling so many months later about what I learned there? And I was curious, too, how you guys are feeling about that. What do you feel like you learned? Did you feel like you got something that you could kind of go out and have a new vigor for sharing your faith, or maybe a new boldness in doing that, or maybe just encourage you to do it, to share your faith? I'm going to give you an opportunity a little later to share that in a smaller group, to just talk about how has it gone with you in this whole area of evangelism. And we'll just use the seminar in the spring as a marker. How's it gone since then in this whole idea of reaching out? Well, before we do that, I want to talk about Zacchaeus the tax collector. Now, God brought this story to my mind, and so I decided to set my other text aside. You know, I've been going through 2 Timothy. But I felt like God really wanted me to set that aside and talk about Zacchaeus. And think about Zacchaeus and his interaction with Jesus. It's a fascinating story to me. It's found in Luke chapter 19 and the first 10 verses. And this story also just kind of gives me the jitters. I get excited when I see what happened to Zacchaeus in this story. And there's different angles. We could look at a bunch of different practical applications of this story. I'm just going to focus on a few. And I'm not going to read through it, but I'd like you to review it with me. Luke 19, the first 10 verses. We find in this story, interesting to me, that Zacchaeus, in a matter of a few hours, becomes a follower of Jesus. I say, wow, how did that happen? You know, for me as a believer, it's always a dream of mine to be involved with people and to be there at that point of decision when they decide to follow Jesus. I mean, yeah, it's great to be a part of all parts of that journey, but it's so fun to see a life transform or somebody turn their life over to Christ. And here we have a story where that happened, where Zacchaeus' life was transformed. And so I asked the question, how did it happen? Jesus didn't know Zacchaeus, so it really isn't a case of friendship evangelism, which I promote a lot, you know, develop friendships, get to know somebody, and, well, you know, he didn't even know who Zacchaeus and Jesus hadn't even met until this one particular day. So it's not that. In fact, where Jesus hung out the most was in up around Galilee, and Zacchaeus was from Jericho, which is about 70 miles from Galilee, and walking distance-wise, I'm not sure how long it take to walk that, but I'm assuming probably 3 days or at least or something like that. So it wasn't a case where Jesus was in the area, you know, he was in the same area or the same neighborhood as Zacchaeus. But it got me thinking, how did these two come together? And that's the title of my sermon. I should have had that up earlier. But we're going to go to the next slide here. And this is an interesting slide to me because I got to thinking, you know, where was Jesus? What did he actually spend his time doing when he was on the earth here? And really, he had 3 years of ministry. And this slide shows you the first year of ministry where he was. And you see up here, Nazareth, of course. Well, then try and find number two way down here. He came down here to Bethany and then the Judean desert and then back to the Jordan. Where's number five? Back up here to Cana and then over here, number six or seven, down here to Jerusalem, then out here to Judea and back here to, I'm not sure how you say that, but that's where he was. So you see here, that's just the first year. He covered quite a bit of territory. I thought, wow, he really traveled. We look at the second year, and we see that a lot of his activity was focused up in this area right here. That's where most of the numbers are. You see he's in Capernaum, and then Where's number two? Somebody help me out here. Galilee. All right, there. Two, then back up here. Jerusalem, down here. Thank you. It's easier when you're farther away to see where these numbers are. Then five here, six. So once again, you see, it looks like he kind of had a home base here and of hanging out in this, but he still covered quite a bit of area. He didn't just stay in one town or area. And then the third year, we look again, and we see even a wider range of territory where Jesus went. Let's see, where's number one? Whoops, wrong button, sorry. Capernaum, there we are, number one. Down here, two, three is right there. Four, five, six, seven. See how quick I can do this. Eight, nine, 10 over here. 11, 12. Anyways, you get the idea. 13, 14. He went a lot of places. That's my point. But it's interesting for me to think about that Jesus, you know, wasn't just in one place. And I think as a church, you think about it, we try and reach people. And we get a little stuck in this idea that, okay, well, this is our place, and we hope people will come and come here to hear about Jesus. But the point with Jesus here that I want to make, the first point, is that he went. He traveled. He went places. He didn't just hang out waiting for people to come to him. He didn't sit in his church office and wait for people to come to him. There were people that sought him out, definitely. But a lot of the people, most of the people that he met on the way somewhere. He didn't meet them in a synagogue. He met some there. But he met them in a lot of different places. So one simple point that he went. In the case of Zacchaeus, where did he meet Zacchaeus? He met him in a tree. Okay, walking beside the road, he met this guy in the tree. A little strange. But that's where he met Zacchaeus. And I don't really see a big plan either in Scripture. You know, I don't see a Jesus mapping out, sitting down with his disciples and saying, okay, we're gonna cover this area over here, or it looks like he just went. And now maybe he did, we don't have record of that, but we know that he went. We don't know how much planning went into where he decided to go. In this case here, on the way to Jericho, if we back up, you see Jericho's way down here. Now, we know that Jesus was working his way down to Jerusalem in this case. So his end point was down here. In fact, it just says that he was passing through Jericho. But he traveled. He went. The second thing that I notice is that he notices Zacchaeus. Not only is he going places, but he's looking. He notices Zacchaeus in the tree. He's not planning to stop there. And why did he pick Zacchaeus? He had this big crowd of people around him. Why did he pick Zacchaeus? We don't know exactly. But I think he knew that Zacchaeus was seeking him. I think he knew Zacchaeus. He maybe knew a lot more things about Zacchaeus than we would as know about people that we run into. But he was looking. You can imagine this crowd that was around Jesus as he was traveling. And Zacchaeus was a short man, as Scripture says here. And so he couldn't even see him, so he climbed this tree. And I can imagine that around Jesus in this crowd, there were some religious leaders, probably some important people. You think about crowds, and you have one prominent person, and usually the people right around them are the important people around him. So I can imagine there was some of those people there. But in the middle of this procession that's going down the road, Jesus stops and notices Zacchaeus. Well, nobody notices Zacchaeus. I mean, if you read this story, you know that he's a tax collector. Tax collectors were looked at as kind of the scum of the earth. And he was not only a tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector. He had other tax collectors under him. So I can't imagine that hardly anybody probably gave Zacchaeus the time of day. He was not a person I don't think that anybody really hung out with necessarily or sought out. And I can imagine what people were thinking in the crowd. Why would he talk to Zacchaeus? Doesn't he know that that guy stole money from me last year when he collected my taxes? He's a thief. And what are they talking about? What? He's going to Zacchaeus' house. What is he thinking? Surely there's other places in Jericho, much better places than to go to this guy's house, this scoundrel. I think Zacchaeus is also astounded. You want to come to my house? Nobody wants to hang out with me. And that brings me to my third point. Not only did he go, not only did he look, but he hung out. I couldn't think of a better word for that, so sorry. He hung out. All right? He didn't just hang out with his disciples. He hung out with people that many thought he shouldn't have anything to do with. And you see that not only in this story, but you see that in several places throughout the Gospels, that Jesus hung out with people that nobody else who wanted to keep their reputation would necessarily hang out with. He hung out with all kinds, not just pious. Well, he didn't really hang out with pious religious folks that much. We see that. Doesn't appear like he liked to hang out with the Pharisees a whole lot. They kind of were at each other, some. But he wasn't worried about his reputation. And I try to imagine what was going through Zacchaeus' mind as they're going back to Zacchaeus' house, as they're sitting around the table. I had to think that he's thinking, wow, who is this guy? He wants to hang out with me. Nobody wants to hang out with me. But this guy who has these crowds of people around him and everybody knows he wants to hang out with me. And not only does he acknowledge my presence, he wants to come to my house. Nobody wants to associate with me. How can this be? Everyone else hates me. Who is this man, Jesus, who knows who I am but treats me as his friend? As if it doesn't matter. Now, I want to volunteer here this morning. Somebody on this side here. It's real simple, okay? Do I have a volunteer? I'll pick on somebody if nobody volunteers. All right, Jack, you're a good one to pick on. I want you to look out the window here and tell me what you see out the window.
I see a blue sky, lots of sunshine.
Okay. All right, but who do you see out there?
I see people driving trucks.
Okay.
Driving cars.
Are they turning in here?
No.
They're not turning in here. Anybody coming in the drive, walking up the sidewalk?
No.
Okay. That's interesting. You can sit down. Thank you. But I don't think if we're simply going to wait here in the church for people to come and hear about Jesus. It will happen, but it's not going to be the norm. They're simply not coming. What if we did like Jesus did and went into their area? Because, you know, a lot of those I know, they feel uncomfortable here. This isn't their environment. They're not used to it. They don't really know what to expect when they come here. And so there's somewhat of a fear, I think, of coming here and what is going to happen. But what if we turned that around and went out into their environment where we might feel a little more uncomfortable? What if we did that? And I think in this story, I see Jesus doing that. He's going out. He's not waiting for them to come into his environment. He's going to their environment. And He's going to their houses. He's hanging out with them. So, that's my third point, that he hung out with them. And the question I think for us is, you know, I've thought about some of the things that we've organized and done. I, I had this family fun day idea that, you know, we have this activity and invite people to come here. And we got some people to come here, but I'm not quite sure that really is, you know, the greatest thing in trying to establish relationships. What if instead of having it here, what if we went to the trailer court down the road here and had family fun day over there for them? We go to their place and say, hey, we want to do something for you. It's just some of the ideas that were going through my head. What is this about going? Where should we go? Where are we looking? Are we looking even as we're going? Are we noticing people where we're going? Is the Holy Spirit guiding where we're going? Is it possible, are we willing to associate with the type of people that Jesus did? And we could come up with some good reasons why we wouldn't want to. But really, I get excited about the stories of Zacchaeus, stories like that. Jesus said to him, the end of the story here, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. The Son of Man came. We talk about Jesus going. The Son of Man came. He came to Zacchaeus. He came to seek. He didn't just pass by. He looked at Zacchaeus. He noticed his need, his interest. And he sought him out. He said, I'm coming to your house. And he came to save. Jesus also sought each of us out. And I don't know if you remember that time of how he sought you out. But it's an awesome thing to think that Jesus would seek us out. It reminds me of this scripture in Romans where Paul says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I'd like to wrap up our time with a chance for you, and I hope this isn't too uncomfortable, but I'd like you for y'all to stand so we can easily do this. And I'd like you to just kind of, I'll explain, then you can do this, but I gather in just groups of 5, 6 people, larger if you feel more comfortable with that. I'd like you to talk about this question that I mentioned before. How's it going for you? And maybe you can use some of these points as an outline. Where are you going? And encourage each other with stories, and they don't have to be big stories, of times where you've had a chance to maybe talk or even develop a relationship with somebody since this spring. Maybe you've had a chance to share spiritual things with them, or have at least a spiritual conversation. Or maybe there's some people that you're just in the mode of hanging out with right now. Encourage each other with those stories. Or maybe you've had the chance, and these are a chance to share the gospel and see somebody accept Christ and see their life be transformed. Those are the things that excite us when we see the power of God moving in us and through us to other people. We have probably 5 minutes. Not everybody's going to get a chance to talk, but take a few minutes, just gather around in small groups and just talk about how it's been going for you in sharing with other people about Christ. Sounds like there's a lot of good discussions going on there, and I hate to shorten it, but continue those discussions, because, you know, we all get discouraged, don't we? We hit roadblocks at times, and I've been discouraged in sharing my faith, or we may have a bad experience, and it might just kind of shut us down in moving forward and doing it again with somebody else. But let's encourage each other. Hopefully you were able to encourage each other in your desire to share your faith with with the people that God has placed you in your placed in your life. And I want us too to think about, where is it, you know, that God wants us to go as a church? I think there's some different ways, instead of doing a family fun day here, like I said. But where is it that He wants us to go? And what I'd like to do, for anybody who's interested, I'd like to take a road trip just in Madison County here. And so whoever's interested, just let me know. I'd like to spend some time here first in prayer, probably a half hour or so of prayer, just asking God to guide us, and then we'll pile in a vehicle or however many it takes and take off around and look with, hopefully with the eyes of Jesus, and just say, you know, we talked about different places. Maybe the truck stop. I don't know. Maybe there's something that He wants us to do there. We're close to that. We've got a couple trailer courts close. I don't know. But I'd like to just go and see how He directs us as a body. Let's sing this song together. I thought of this song, and it, of course, I read scripture that's in this song here. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news.
How lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news. Good news. Announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You for how You speak to us. I thank You for how You've been speaking to me this week. I thank You for each person here and how You're working in their lives. And I thank You for all the opportunities that they've had this past few months, this summer, the people that You brought into their lives. And I pray that each of us would be encouraged to continue on with what You're teaching us, how to share Your love with people around us, share Your love with people that we don't even know yet. You may be asking us to go places or meet people that we haven't even met yet. I just pray for each one that You would encourage our hearts, strengthen us, give us wisdom, help us to be discerning, help us to have eyes like You, Jesus, when we look at people. Help us to see them as You see them. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.